Welcome to episode 546 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Anna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth and Sandy. Get ready to be transported to rolling green hills, ancient castles, and cozy pubs because Elizabeth just got back from a trip to Ireland, and she has all the insider stories and tips. We're diving deep into the cultural experiences, hidden gems, and travel tips you won't want to miss. So grab your headphones, maybe a cup of Irish tea, or whiskey if you prefer, and let's get started.
Yay!
Oh my gosh, Ireland!
Still on my list. I've still not been there.
Still on my list too. So tell us all about it, Elizabeth.
So, yeah, I've been there enough for all three of us now. So.
Good.
And just like other destinations that we've talked about many, many times, there's always something new to do. So even though I've been to most of these places before, I did new things in almost all of them. So
nice.
Definitely worth revisiting for sure.
Absolutely. All right. So let's dive in. So
I landed in Dublin. Yeah. And this itinerary was a little different in that in theory, we were met at the airport and whisked off from Dublin. So we weren't even supposed to stay in Dublin. And I say we, I was with Brooke also with Outlander Travel. She's been on the podcast several times.
But
we decided to fly in a day early because if you fly overnight and then get on a bus and start touring at 9:30 in the morning, well, I don't know about you, but I'm a grumpy person. So
I'm sleeping.
I don't recommend that.
and it is, you know, when we take trips like this, it was planned by a supplier of ours. It was a discounted rate, and you want to be present because they're showing you the things that your clients want to see. And so I did not want to be sleeping. So I got in the day before, and Brooke had never been to Dublin before. So she had booked a tour that started at, I think, 10 a.m. to go to the Book of Kells and do a little city tour. And so she did that. And originally I was going to do it with her. And then I realized I'm going to like basically be running from the airport and then touring. And I've already seen a lot of what she was going to see. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do that. But I did want to go back to the Book of Kells because we're traveling off season. And if you go to Trinity College, the Book of Kells, the library there, in the summer, it is wall to wall people. It's like the Mona Lisa. It's really tiny. Except for Mona Lisa is up on a wall, and this is an actual book that's laying in a case. So you have to like look down at it. And so I couldn't even see it last time. Like it was 12 deep around that book. Yeah. And that the whole point is to see that book, but the library there is absolutely gorgeous too. So, while Brooke was basically touring her behunkus off, I just went to the Book of Kells. I bought a ticket for the Book of Kells and I had a 12:30 appointment and I went and did that and I ate lunch. It was very nice, actually. Very relaxing, took a little nap. And then she and I met up at 2 or 3 o'clock, I can't remember which, 3, I think, for a food tour. And it was essentially, it wasn't a food tour, it was a pub tour, pub crawl.
That's like my favorite. Oh, that's so good.
Nice. Yeah, we did have food. So I actually, when I've been to Ireland in the past, the first time I was with my family, smaller children, so we didn't really do, we went to a couple pubs, but we couldn't really do a pub crawl. Second time I went, we went mostly to Northern Ireland and I was on a guided tour. So I didn't have a lot of free time to myself. So this, even though it was guided, we had some free time, but since we hadn't met the tour group yet, Brooke and I were like, we're going to do a pub crawl. So it was very cool though, because we went a little, we didn't stick around the Trinity bar area, which is where everybody else goes. We went into some neighborhoods that, that this local knew. And one of the places we went is this old pub that's been there forever. In fact, it's been sort of, it's right near the Jameson distillery, or the museum is there. And, it, it's been in danger of getting shut down. It's been run by a family for a very long time, and it's a musician's bar. So basically you go in and you can sit down with your instrument and you play. And I mean, they just take turns. So you just show up and you play. And there are people who do this and they don't get paid. I mean, you can tip them obviously. And there's music there all day long, every day.
Oh, wow.
That's really cool. I know. No television for the bar. Cool. It's just devoted to music. Yeah. So we were lucky. It wasn't very crowded. It was a Saturday, but it wasn't very crowded. It was the first stop on our tour. And we had a beer there. We had, oh my gosh.
Guinness?
No. Oh my gosh. It's the other Irish harp. Yeah, but it's what it's called in anyway. So yeah, clearly it was a long day. So then we went to another bar that was known to be the darkest bar in Ireland, and it is very dark in there. And we had cider. And then we went to a bar that is actually a little bit more hipster. They do have beer, but they also have craft cocktails, and they had pizza. And so they had these fancy pizzas, and Brooke and I were hungry, and we had cocktails there. So we also decided to have pizza, because now we've had beer, cider, and a cocktail, and we're not 18 anymore. And so there was two people in our group were actually from Italy, and they were like, I don't know about this pizza. And so they went and talked to the pizza chef. He was from Naples. So they're like, okay, he passes. So the pizza was outstanding. I am still dreaming about that pizza. It was so good. And then we ended the night at a bar, I think it was called Arthur's, and we had a room upstairs that they sort of held for us where they normally do music and stuff. And as later in the evening, they were setting up for music. And that's where we had Guinness. And so he talked to us about the history of Guinness, and our tour guide used to work at the Guinness, storehouse. So he of course knows all the things. So that we talked about splitting the G, if you are an Instagram follower, and we all tried it. I was not successful, and talked about why Guinness tastes different in Ireland than it does in the United States, and basically how Guinness actually goes to every pub and cleans the lines and does all that stuff to make sure that it's pure. So anyway, it was a really nice day, and that was just day one. Then our tour started.
Nice.
I'm already tired.
Right? So,
it's a full day.
So we had to go back to the airport and meet our group. And they drove us to, I can't remember, I think it's Lirat Estate. And this is an old estate hotel. There's lots of them, castles and estates that have been converted into hotels. And they keep up the tradition of the outdoor activities that you could normally do there. So they have archery, and they have falconry, and they have clay shooting. It was very windy, so we couldn't do the true falconry experience, but we got to hold this cute little owl named Turbo. and then we did archery, and then they have clay shooting, but they were still setting it up. It's modern clay shooting, so basically it's plastic discs that go out, and they actually can reuse them, and it's lasers. So the disc, it makes all the sounds, but the discs don't actually explode, and there's no bullets, so there's no danger to the wildlife around, because as you know, with clay shooting, there can be peripheral damage sometimes. So, so you get all the experience, and they look like rifles. I mean, we didn't get to use them because they weren't set up yet, but it was brand new to them, and it was sort of responsible clay shooting, if you will. So it looks pretty cool.
That's really neat.
Yep. Yeah. And honestly, I would do that again. Like, I really liked going directly out to this place. It was about an hour, maybe an hour and a half from Dublin. So fairly easy transfer. And although if we had done it as soon as we come in, we would have been really tired. But if I were just staying there, get there, check in, relax, and then the next day do some of the activities. I think it's a really nice way to start your trip.
Yeah.
And then we went on to Kilkenny from there. And there's a castle there that we saw. And so I don't know anything about the Kilkenny show, so don't ask me about that. But I think that's set in Canada, isn't it?
I don't know anything. I've never even heard of it.
Canada, do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, what I do know is in Kilkenny, there's a big animation studio there that nobody knows is there. So that's really cool. But we didn't see that. So we went to the castle, and then basically, so most of our time was spent at the estate. And then we just basically slept at the in Kilkenny. We went to the castle and then went to bed. Well, they did go out to this like haunted pub, but I'm old. It was after 8 o'clock.
You didn't go out to the haunted pub?
No, and I heard that it was really cool. Brooke did. So,
I was going to say, did Brooke go at least?
Yeah, Brooke really did. Yeah.
She's a little younger than us.
She toured all day on Saturday, and then she did that. Mm-hmm. So, but she didn't have the time difference either. She was coming from Germany. So
that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Desperate.
So then from there, you went to Cork?
Yep. Cork and Cove, which it looks like Cove with an H, but it's pronounced Cove, like a little cove. So on the way to Cork, we went to Waterford, which is where the crystal factory is. And
that's cool.
It is super cool. And I spent some money there. Somebody posted on one of my posts. She was like, it's a shame that it was sold off to a big company and now they don't make anything there.
I saw that.
I literally watched them make stuff there. They make all the trophies there. It's all hand done. So I don't know. I mean, yeah. I don't know what that was about. I mean, she's a good friend of mine, and she is a bit of an activist, but I'm like, it is possible they were sold off. I totally believe that. And I'm sure that they scaled back their production. But there are certain things that they do make there. And everything I bought there was, it's only sold there at the store. So they have a couple of patterns that you can only get there. And they're beautiful. So I bought two gin balloons, which are gin glasses that are the big, well, they look like the bottom of balloons. And then I've always wanted glasses like that. And so I was like, okay. And then I also bought a little whiskey decanter and two little whiskey glasses so that I could pretend that I'm like in a...
are they like cut, is the decanter like cut crystal like that?
Yeah, or? Cut crystal, oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah, so like what you see in like the old murder mystery movies and stuff like that.
Oh, that's so cool.
I know.
I love it.
I can't wait for my kid to get all of his stuff moved out of my downstairs so I have room for it.
It's like you need to get
out, but yeah.
Wait. Side note, I thought you were like sad about being an empty nester. Now you're like, boot all this stuff out.
It's like, get out of my house.
Upstairs to the third floor. So,
you know. Haul it up there. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Waterford was actually one of my favorite stops. And then we went on to Cove, and I have been to Cove before on a cruise ship, but we didn't stay. We did an excursion from Cove out to Jameson, to Middleton, which is where the real Jameson distillery is. So this time we were in Cove and we went to the Cove Heritage Center, and Cove is the last place the Titanic stopped, other than the bottom of the ocean. Yeah.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
So on its way to America, it came down from Belfast and then it stopped in Cove and then it continued on its fateful journey. So there's a small, emigration, and Titanic exhibit there that was very interesting. It's one of those where you get a name and then you find out who you were. But it's mostly, it's not meant to be sad. Like most of the people that you are actually survived. So, it was very interesting. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was very small, but very well done. So I enjoyed that. And Cove is such a pretty little town. It's just like this picturesque Irish seaside town. So
yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
And then from there you went to Killarney.
Yes. So almost everybody, when you go to Ireland, to the Republic of Ireland, if you head south, you're going to end up in Killarney. It's a really good place to stay if you want to do the scenic drives down the south. There's three peninsulas off the south of Ireland. Whether you're doing one, two, or all three of them, it's a good place to stay. It is a cute little town, and there's a lot of other outdoor activities around there. So if you are sort of wanting to do, nature in Ireland and get out and hike and do things like that, this is a great place to stay. But again, we sort of were there overnight, but our main goal was sightseeing and hotel inspections. So the sightseeing we did that day before we left the Cork area, we went to Blarney Castle, which is where you can go up to the top of the castle and kiss the Blarney Stone and get the gift of the gap.
Did you kiss the Blarney Stone?
Not this time. So
Brooke did.
Yeah. And this is the first place that we went other than Dublin that I had been to before. And we went during high season before. So I stood in this long line and going up that you're going up this tiny, if you know anything about castles, the staircase is only big enough for one person. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a defense, thing. And so then you get up to the top and you sort of walk along the castle and then you really quickly get on your back, kiss the Blarney Stone upside down, and then you get back up and go back down again. I was like, you know what? Been there, done that, got the herpes. And so I just like, I'm not going to do that again. But Brooke obviously had never been there. So I wandered, I was looking forward to wandering around the poison garden because I got to do that when I was there the first time, but only for like a minute. And it was fascinating. Well, I didn't think about the fact that it was still winter and all the plants would be dead. So it wasn't nearly as exciting as I thought it would be. Yeah. So I walked up with Brooke to the castle and then she went up the little narrow staircase and did all that on her own. And I stayed back.
So, yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Still cool hanging out at the castle.
Yeah.
It was good to see it again without all the people around it. I got some good pictures and the grounds are very pretty around there. And then there's a big, the Woolen Mills are right there, which is basically a big mall. There's a big restaurant and then they're selling all kinds of Irish, goods, wool and all that stuff. You don't need a lot of time there, but it was time well spent. So I have zero bitterness about doing that. And I also have zero regrets about not kissing the Blarney Stone again. I mean, listen to how much I'm talking. I clearly have the gift of the gab. I did not need to do it again. I got it the first time.
Well, I was going to say, if you've done it once, you probably didn't need to smooch on it again.
No.
Once is probably enough.
I will say that it was much faster because there was nobody there because we were off season. You know, she was back before I knew it. I was like, oh my gosh, you're already back. She's like, well, there's no line. You just go up there, kiss it, come down,
So, that's awesome.
Oh, I like it.
What time of year? We should say what time of year you went.
So I was there the last week of February.
Okay.
Yeah, last week of February.
Was it like cold and rainy and dreary?
Well, ironically, so here's a hint for you. If you ever go to Ireland, take me because I've been three times and I've only been rained on once. It was the day that I went to the Giant's Causeway. So it was probably the worst day to get rained on because I got rained on. But this trip, we didn't get any rain. And incidentally, on Saturday when we arrived, it was the nicest day they'd had in like a month and a half. He said it's been the cab driver was like, it's been raining for 6 weeks and it just cleared up today. And it was beautiful. I mean, it was nice. Temperate. It was just gorgeous. So yeah. And it stayed that way. Fortunately.
Note to self, take Elizabeth to Ireland. If you go,
when you go to Ireland.
Very okay. Important. We're going to just take you. Yep. It's fine. Stick you in our suitcase.
So we headed south from Dublin, pretty much directly south, and then we headed west. And now we're going to head north again, but along the western side of the country. And we went through Limerick. We saw a hotel there, and of course, Limerick is famous for limericks. But it's really just sort of a city. The hotel we saw there definitely catered to business. It does have a couple of rivers that come together. I don't think it's three rivers, Sandy, but I think it's two. Or it might be three, actually.
I wasn't going to mention Pittsburgh, but since
yeah, of course. So we just sort of drove through there. We had lunch and then we moved on. And then we went to the Cliffs of Moher, which is the other repeat of what I've done before. This time, my luck sort of wore off. It was not raining. And
I was
going to
say, you have a weather warning here noted in your
notes. Yes. So one of the famous things about the Cliffs of Moher is that oftentimes it's so foggy that you can't even see them. So you always, want to have your fingers crossed that you can see when you go there. I've been three times now, and all three times it's been perfectly clear. The first two times I went, we had really nice weather. You were able to walk around, no problem. It's a little windy, but not bad. We get off the bus and the wind was blowing so hard. You know how when the wind is blowing right at your face, you can't breathe because there's so much air coming at you. You can't actually breathe. Mm-hmm. That's what it was like. And so I looked at the stairs to go up and I was like, nope, I'm just going to go into the gift shop to have a snack.
Okay.
Third time's the charm. I don't need to do it. Brooke braved it.
Yeah.
She has some hilarious video of her, her hair just flying everywhere. And she ended up sitting on the stairs for a little while some of it passed over. It hailed on her.
Whoa.
And it was actually, the wind was blowing so hard that people were literally being blown off their feet, which is not something you want to have happen when you're at the top of the Cliffs of Moher. And if you don't know what the Cliffs of Moher are, if you've ever seen The Princess Bride, it's the Cliffs of Insanity. Or if you haven't seen that and you've seen Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, one of the Hallows is they have to row a boat into these big, tall cliffs that's them. So yeah. So I stayed indoors. I was very indoors.
It sounds really pretty though.
Uh-huh. And I was so glad to go back, and I was so glad that I'd seen it before, because I would have been really disappointed, and I would have probably tried to climb those stairs in that wind, and I probably would have been very sorry that I did that.
You might not have been on the podcast tonight.
It was dangerous. And I got to tell you, the Cliffs of Moher, they don't believe in railings, but there's signs mm-hmm. everywhere. Don't get too close, because people get blown off. And this is the kind of day where I absolutely see that happen. I mean, some people jump. Not to be dark, but sometimes it's self-inflicted, but there are cases where the wind blows so much and it just scoops you right up, and you know, it doesn't take much to knock you over.
Seriously? Yeah. And they let you just walk up there? Well,
yep.
Okay.
Holy cow. Yep.
This goes back to where, like, you feel like there should be guardrails and stuff. I mean,
well, and there is talk about maybe, but that would really cut into the natural beauty there. I mean,
yeah,
I have mixed feelings about it.
Yeah.
I get
maybe,
it.
Maybe, I don't know. How close do people get to the edge? Do they like?
You can walk right up to it. The sidewalk is not right there, but you can step out on the grass. And
could you like lay flat and scooch and like stick your head over so you're not going to blow
I would not recommend that. You know, and by the way, the Grand Canyon is the same way. I mean, it is very easy to step over that edge. To, you know, if you miss a step, get off balance. Yeah. Down you go.
Wow.
So anyway. On our dark.
So everybody lived.
Yes, everybody lived. We all survived. Some people were more wet than others from being out in the weather, but I was toasty warm. So
nice.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we went into Galway City, and I have been to Galway City 3 times, and every time I go, I'm dropped off from the bus at the same location. It's at the top of this street that you can walk down sort of into town with all these shops and restaurants. And it's not a very long street, and they always give me way too much time there. But this time I knew about this, and so I made the best of it. We tried this place that our food tour guide back in Dublin had told us about. He said, when you're in Galway, if you want good pizza, go to Dobro's. And apparently they used to be a pop-up, like almost a food truck. And then now they have this permanent location just off of this street. So we went to Dobro's and we sat and had beer and pizza. It was not as good as the pizza. It was very good, but it was not as good as the pizza that I'm still dreaming about from that bar. And then we walked around a little bit and went back to our hotel. So it was actually a very much more productive evening in Galway. It's sort of known for music. There's, you know, buskers and, you know, that sort of thing. You've heard the song Galway Girl.
Sharon.
It's a thing. And then Galway is also where the Cladda rings came from. And those are the very famous Irish rings with the hands joining around a heart with the little stone in the middle of the crown. And if you wear it upside down, then it means you're single. And if you wear it right side up, it means you're taken. You're spoken for.
I love that you did kind of a pizza tour of Ireland.
Yeah, I know, right?
Pizza and beer.
I even joked with the guide. I was like, well, it doesn't make sense for me to have pizza in Galway. Like I didn't have fish and chips this whole trip.
Wow.
Maybe I did once. Whoa. But you know, you're on an island too. You want seafood at some point. And I really don't know that I did. I probably had salmon somewhere, but, and then on the way to Dublin, we went back to Dublin. You can fly out of the Shannon Airport, but our tour took us back to Dublin and we wanted to go because we still had things to do. So they took us by Newbridge Silverware, which is one of the last places still making like true silver, you know, like silverware with silver. And they make other things too, you know, so, and actually when we got there, they were having their twice a year sales. So everything was like super cheap. If I had wanted something to polish every day, I would have bought more there, but not a Christmas ornament. And then we continued on and we stopped in the town where Sean's Bar is. Are you familiar with Sean's Bar? Have you ever heard of it?
I am not. Do tell.
It is the oldest bar in Ireland.
I saw you post about it. Yeah, that's so cool.
Yes. Well, and I should say it's the oldest continually operating bar. So there has been a bar there ever since like 14 something, I think, or maybe even 11 something. I mean, yeah, super.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Cool. And there's always been a bar there, but, you know, people added on to it, built it up or whatever. So they were doing some renovations and they actually found some of the original wall was still there. So there's a little window where you can see where it's literally sticks and, you know, I mean, and, wow. and mud.
But still,
and,
that's so cool.
It's so
I
cool.
I love that.
So cool.
I love that history.
Yeah. And it's charming. I mean, they did a little presentation for us. And, of course we actually had Irish coffee there. It was great. So, that was someplace that I've always wanted to go. I think Lindsay has been, but I don't think anybody else on our team has ever been there before. Mm. And so it was really nice to get to see it. And they told us that they had a surprise for us, but as we were approaching the town, I was like, oh, this is where Sean's bar is. And then I realized that that's where we're going.
That's so awesome.
I mean, you really do have to sort of plan to go. It's not someplace you wouldn't go there for any other reason.
Right.
But it certainly still sees plenty of visitors. So we did that. And then we went on to Dublin and we went to the Epic Museum. And Epic, if you have seen it and wonder why they called it Epic, Epic stands for Every Person is Connected. I did not know that. I learned something on this trip. But it is an emigration museum. It's basically sort of how Ireland, the history of Ireland, and how Ireland also has populated the world, and how the influence that the Irish have had all over the world. And
that's cool.
You can do it self-guided. We actually had a guide, and I highly recommend that if you have time to do the guided tour. I feel like it was less than 90 minutes. It was really... it was really eye-opening. You know, they point out some things that you might miss if you're just walking through it. But it's a very, very high-touch, high-technology museum. Mm-hmm. So very entertaining, even for kids. And even if you don't, like, I don't have any Irish heritage to speak of, but it was still very interesting. You can also make an appointment there with a genealogist and they'll, like, help you trace back your family.
That's cool, because I do have Irish in my family.
Yeah.
So that would be really cool.
If you're going to Ireland, I highly recommend that you set aside time and make an appointment and do that, because
that would be really cool.
People really know their stuff, and you learn some interesting stuff. So,
I mean, okay. Aren't we all just a little bit Irish, especially in March?
You know, in theory, but yeah, no, Italian. And I mean, even I have English in my family, but no Irish. Really.
I do have some Irish in my family. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, you are from Pittsburgh, so that's kind of...
I mean, I'm Irish and German, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm Scotch-Irish.
Nice. Well, and I love Irish culture. I love the Irish people. They're so friendly. And then the trip ended at the Mary Plowboy, and there's a whole lot of these sort of pubs that are really owned by the musicians themselves. And so it turns into more of like a dinner show. And that's what this was. But the music was so authentic. It was really fun. The food was really good. These guys, they're getting on up there in age, but they're, you know, playing traditional Irish instruments and beautiful voices. And so it was... Nice. It was a great way to sort of close out the trip. So
I love it.
Highly recommend it. And I did this with a tour company that we hadn't used before and we hadn't really used before. And so I was going to sort of see what they were like. It's a great company. I've since booked other people with this company. Nice. They do both guided tours and they do individualized travel with us. So they have a lot of contacts in Ireland, so they can really come up with some special, you know, if you want to go to this random little town that your family is from, they can work with us to help make that happen. And we've had other suppliers that do that, other people we work with, but I was really impressed with this company overall. And so if we can help you plan a trip to Ireland, we're standing by.
I've contacted them for a golf trip to Scotland too. So
yeah, they do Scotland and they do the British Isles in general, and then they even have a couple of other random countries like Italy. So, but Ireland is where their heart is. So they have a
nice.
Green.
Nice, I love it. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlandertravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, Elizabeth, and myself, Anna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.